thousands of free Presbyterians converged on the Odyssey in Belfast this morning to celebrate the Jubilee of their church. The Free Presbyterian Church now boasts over 12,000 members here in Northern Ireland and in congregations around the world. Although a well-established feature of religious and political life here, the church and its founder and moderator, the Reverend Dr. Ian Paisley, are still the subject of controversy. In a moment, a studio discussion, including one of the longest-serving ministers in the Free Presbyterian Church. First, though, this report from Coleman O'Sullivan.
When the people of God are on the march for God, the enemy will not be far away. You can make sure of that. You never know there's a devil until you're seen. And the devil gets after you after you're seen. And I'll tell you what's more, if the church is doing what it ought to do, the devil will be against that church. I'm glad the devil's against this church. I'm glad the Pope's against this church.
What it represents is an unwillingness of a section of Christians in Northern Ireland to become liberal and ecumenical in a way that their sister churches did in most other parts of the world.
Free Presbyterianism is really the religious expression of extreme unionism. And over the last 50 years has had a malevolent effect on politics and society in the north of Ireland.
Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid.
Free Presbyterianism has been very negative. Very negative. And it's totally contrary to really the spirit of Christianity, in the sense that Christianity must be positive.
God is on the throne. I believe in a sovereign, all-powerful God. He's on the throne.
I would see two aspects, one positive and one negative. The positive, I do believe that there are many good Christians in the Free Presbyterian Church. The negative side is that I believe that they have contributed to division and bitterness in our divided society, which is prone to bitterness.
And the children of Israel cried out.
Free Presbyterianism is no less controversial today than when it was founded half a century ago. The church was born when some Presbyterian elders in Crossgar left the church after Ian Paisley wasn't allowed to give a mission in their church hall. They claimed their local presbytery was interfering with freedom to preach the gospel. Finlay Holmes, former moderator and historian of the Irish Presbyterian Church, says that that is not the case.
Ian Paisley was becoming increasingly well known as a vociferous critic of the Irish Presbyterian Church. And understandably, the Presbytery of Down didn't wish to give him a platform on church property. Now, it has been argued that he had preached in Presbyterian property. Well, that's as may be, but they now decided that this man, who was becoming increasingly well-known, and increasingly well-known as an attacker of the Presbyterian Church, should not be. Now, this didn't prevent the mission going ahead in the mission hall as originally arranged, so that the claim that the Free Presbyterians have always made, that presbytery was interfering with liberty to preach the gospel and trying to prevent the preaching of the gospel, that's not really, I don't think, a satisfactory argument.
The dispute at Crossgar would not have led to the foundation of a new church if there hadn't already been tensions within Irish Protestantism. Ian Paisley and his followers saw themselves as taking a stand against modernisers who were moving away from the fundamental truths of the Bible.
No one was prepared to stand up for historic biblical Christianity, which is Protestantism. And they were prepared to go with modern thought, with what was called in theology liberal thinking, and the denying of the doctrines of Christ. And this was the common teaching of liberalism, and it was against that that our church took a strong, militant and bold stand. It clear water between biblical Protestantism and ecumenism.
For the first decade and a half, the church grew slowly. Then in 1966, Ian Paisley was sent to prison for 3 months for leading a demonstration which was followed by violence. Over the 18 months that followed, the Free Presbyterian Church grew at an unprecedented rate. Steve Bruce, professor of sociology and author of For God and Ulster, a study of Ian Paisley and his church, has no doubt that Paisley's politics attracted people to the church.
The political conflict was important because it dramatised the religious claim that Ian Paisley was making, that the main Protestant churches were abandoning what it was they traditionally believed, and that by so doing they would encourage Roman Catholicism and all sorts of other very bad things, and hence that it was important for the Protestants of Northern Ireland to return to their roots, to denounce those that they disagreed with. Ian Paisley built his career on predicting things would be bad. I mean, his argument long before the Troubles began was always, if we compromise our religious beliefs, then God will punish us. God will send his judgment on the people. If we abandon what it was we used to believe, then things will get very bad. And of course, when things got very, very bad, this allowed a lot of people in Northern Ireland to see Paisley as an accurate prophet. Look, he said this would happen, and it happened. And I think it's no coincidence that the Free Presbyterian Church, its major growth period, was the period between 1966, when Paisley's argument with Terence O'Neill and liberal unionism really became very public, to 1976, the kind of end of the worst period of the Troubles.
While Ian Paisley says that the members of his church follow Christ and not Paisley, he does say that he sees no separation between his life as a politician and his role as a preacher.
I just preach in Stormont, I preach in Westminster, I preach in, these are just an extension of my pulpit. And I don't think anybody says that I change my message when I go to Westminster. In fact, I'm blamed for being too blunt and straight. And you shouldn't, if you're a politician, you shouldn't be blunt and straight. I don't agree with that. I believe in my manifesto. When I go out, I say to people, here's what I believe in. You can vote for me or reject me.
But what Ian Paisley calls blunt has been called irresponsible or even inflammatory by others. Dr. Dennis Cook, the principal of Edgehill Theological College, has written a book on Paisley called Persecuting Zeal. He believes that some of the Free Presbyterian moderator's speeches encouraged others to violence.
Over the years, I've met a number of people who have been sometime or other involved in the paramilitaries, and a number of them have said that they wish they hadn't listened to what Ian Paisley said. They regretted the fact that they swallowed his teaching and his comments, and they would say, not just one or two of them, but a lot of them would say that he affected their practice, he influenced their way of life.
But Ian Paisley has always denied any links to or influence over loyalist paramilitaries.
That is completely and totally untrue, because the people that were influenced by my preaching gave up their arms, gave up their terrorism, gave up their gun law. And the judge, Scarma, has that in the records. I mean, the British government were no friend of mine. If they could have got anything on me, they would have been in prison. But they have nothing on me. My hands are absolutely clean. I didn't ask anybody. In fact, I put up posters in the middle of all that saying, "Thou shalt do no murder." And then they say that I encourage people to murder. I mean, they would say anything about me. I'm fair cop for anybody.
Steve Bruce says that his researchers support Ian Paisley's assertion that he has been an influence against violence and not for it.
If you look at the record of the Free Presbyterian Church, and this is an important point, I've tried to investigate this. My guess is that over the history of the Troubles, there have been something like 20,000 adult male members of the Free Presbyterian Church. I can find only 6 people who have been accused or convicted of any kind of politically related violence. To be a Free Presbyterian is almost to immunize yourself against the appeal of terror. These people are not involved in terrorism. Gusty Spence is on the record many times as saying that Ian Paisley had nothing to do with the formation of the UVF. I mean, I think one could equally well list a whole series of actions engaged in by every major politician in Northern Ireland and point to the deleterious consequences of them. I mean, you could say the same with the civil rights leaders. John Hume led illegal marches in Derry, which led to huge amounts of civil unrest.
But writer Brian Feeney says that there is no comparison between the activities of Ian Paisley and those involved in the civil rights movement.
The crucial difference is that the civil rights movement was
deliberately and positively non-violent and encouraged people not to be involved in violence. Paisley would have great difficulty in explaining what he was doing standing in the middle of Armagh, surrounded by men with cudgels and hammers and other implements, and those were the only implements that they'd managed to get through the RUC road checks, which had managed to take piles of weapons out of the cars of people who were coming to support Paisley in a violent attempt to prevent a peaceful civil rights march.
For Brian Feeney, Ian Paisley's assertion that he is opposing the errors of Rome rather than attacking Catholics doesn't wash.
It's very easy to move from attacking the beliefs and doctrine of a particular church to justifying the attacks on the individuals, particularly when you're saying that these people are threats to the political system. For example, one of Paisley's favourite victims is always the, quote, Roman Catholic cardinal, whoever he happens to be, linking him with nationalism, republicanism, that sort of thing. So what it really does is it dehumanises Catholics and suggests that they're part of some kind of international conspiracy to get rid of unionism.
But Ian Paisley says that those who attack him for denigrating the Catholic Church should realise that his attitude to other churches is far from unique.
The Roman Catholic Church says the very same about every church under earth. They say there's none of them the true Church of Christ. The Pope has made a statement recently that none of these churches, even he's in dialogue with them, they're not Christian churches. So I think the question has to be put to Rome, that on churches, every other church in the world, we don't do that. We say that only God on churches a church. And when they don't come out to God's standard, they can't be called a church. And that is the basis of Protestantism. I'm not preaching some new religion I made up. I'm preaching what the basis is of basic Protestantism.
The values of Ian Paisley and the Free Presbyterian Church may not have changed since 1951, but Northern Ireland has. Despite campaigns to save Ulster from sodomy and to keep the Ulster Sabbath, homosexuality and Sunday opening are now part of life here. So is Ian Paisley disappointed that he hasn't stemmed the tide of modernism?
I feel that as long as I have cleared my skirt of the blood of people and been faithful to my convictions, that is where I have to leave. I'm not. God doesn't say at the end of the day, thou good and successful servant. He says, thou good and faithful servant.
Although Ian Paisley says that he will continue to serve as God and his church for as long as he has his health, he is now in his 75th year and cannot go on forever. So will his church persist after he's gone? Steve Bruce.
The Free Presbyterian Church is now a well-established part of the range of religious options in Northern Ireland. I don't see its position changing greatly. I think it will continue to grow slowly and steadily, and I think that growth will continue after Dr. Paisley has died. It's not dependent on the individual. It's dependent on the sense that there is a clear body of beliefs and doctrines which they can't get elsewhere and which are best represented in this organisation. Many Free Presbyterian congregations have got very strong local roots. It's very much a tightly networked family organization. An awful lot of Free Presbyterian ministers are married to the sisters of other Free Presbyterian ministers. So it's a tight world, and I think it has sufficiently strong roots that it will survive.
Brian Feeney agrees that Free Presbyterianism is here to stay, but expects that without Ian Paisley, it will lose its political influence.
Unless they find someone with the political persona of Paisley, someone who's able to translate that kind of religious ethos into the politics of the north of Ireland, then it will simply become a religious sect. I mean, it will still be there because, you know, the hostility to modernism, if you like, opposition to homosexuality, to secularism, that's very, very strong in large parts of the United States. I mean, there's no reason to suppose that it's going to disappear because in probably, you know, one of the most materialistic countries in the world, very strong fundamentalist religion, you know, Southern Baptist Convention in the United States, very, very powerful. But they really don't have a political leader. And if the politics moves out, you may end up with the church remaining quite strong and the people who believe in it, but led by an exclusively religious leader.
But Ian Paisley is not finished yet, and says he has no intention of winding down either his political or church activities.
God didn't call me to waste my life, he called me to use my life. And as long as God gives me health and strength and the ability to do it. I mean, I wouldn't be doing anything except I had the ability to do it. If I hadn't the ability to do it, I would hand in. But I have perfect health. I have very good health. In fact, I laugh when I go out with my son in the Lexington at 6 o'clock. He's knackered. The old fella is ready for another 3 or 4 hours.
This is Ian Junior.
Yes. I say, yeah. Well, son, you're knackered, but I can do twice the... I wouldn't see people in my road. I have good health, good strength, thank God for it.
The founder and moderator of the Free Presbyterian Church, the Reverend M. Paisley, ending that report from Coleman O'Sullivan. Reminder of the comment line number, if you'd like to give us a ring this morning, 028-90-338-355. Well, we continue on the subject of the Free Presbyterian Church and its Jubilee. And joining me now in studio, three guests: Free Presbyterian Minister, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Professor Robert McCollum of the Reformed Presbyterian Church, and journalist Ed Maloney, who co-wrote a book about Ian Paisley. I'll break my teeth in for someone else, but welcome to all of you to the programme this morning. Ivan Foster, 50 years of Free Presbyterianism in Northern Ireland society. What do you reckon the contribution of the church has been?
I think that most likely I would have to start on the negative side, in that I believe that the vigorous witness of the Free Presbyterian Church has had a breaking effect upon the development of modernism and ecumenism in the other main denominations. And then I would also say that from an evangelistic point of view, the Free Presbyterian Church has contributed to the conversion of many, many, many souls, the establishing of local congregations, and the beneficial impact that such establishing of congregations in communities would naturally bring.
A negative effect?
Well, yes. I mean, I had to smile when someone, I didn't catch the name on that report we've just listened to, talked about the negative effect, as if there's no negatives in the Bible. They obviously never read the Ten Commandments, which are pretty well loaded.
So a negative can be a positive?
Side. Sorry?
A negative can be a positive then?
Well, yes.
The things that you describe, I think many within your denomination would see as something that was good.
A positive thing, yes. But I'm merely differentiating between the holding back and the pressing on, the holding back of the forces of darkness and evil, and the advancing of the cause of righteousness in our province. And those would be the two sides of the influence that I think we have exerted.
Robert McCollum, how would you assess the impact or the contribution that the Free Presbyterian Church has made?
Well, I would be first to recognise that the church, as a young church, has shown great vigour in evangelism. And I would say there are many people in the province today who thank God for the Free Presbyterian Church, because it's through that church that they heard the gospel and were converted to Christ. And so from that point of view, it has made a very positive contribution. In the area of public morals, while I wouldn't necessarily agree with all their methods, yet I would have to applaud the efforts that they have made for public righteousness. And that is something I think that would be recognised widely.
Ed Maloney?
Well, I think I would agree with Ivan Foster there, although maybe put it in a slightly different way. I mean, I think what the Free Presbyterian Church did was to articulate and represent a very strong strain within Northern Ireland Protestantism, which resisted both political and religious ecumenism, and that the growth, as we've heard in that report, of the Free Presbyterian Church was you know, proportionate to the political instability that was going on. The two things went hand in hand. And inasmuch as the Free Presbyterian Church was a sort of religious manifestation of that movement, one has to look at what impact it had on the other churches. And quite clearly, in terms of the Presbyterian Church, we can see that there was, you know, a definite impact there. The whole affair with the World Council of Churches and so on and so forth, the fact that the Presbyterian Church was forced to withdraw from that body as a result of pressure from people who shared the same sort of perspective on life and religion as the Free Presbyterians. Now, that had you know, an impact politically as well, in the way that people interacted with each other in this society. So did the Free Presbyterian Church have a disproportionate influence? I think it probably did, but it was reflecting something that was mainstream at the same time.
Is that an influence, Ivan, that has waned?
I don't think so. I suppose at the beginnings of anything that's new and fresh, it appears that its impact is much more dynamic than after a while, when the witness of that particular group becomes a feature just of society. I don't think so. Our church has broadened out in the sense that it has grown and has become much more established and has become an accepted part of the community in various places. I would hate to think that it has waned, although I have to acknowledge the teaching of the Word of God, I have to acknowledge the lessons of church history, that it is certainly not uncommon for God's people to lose their initial zeal and vision. I mean, when I started off as a minister, I had absolutely no pastoral duties other than getting out there and preaching and tackling everything that I felt needed tackled. But as
I
saw
in
my
1968.
Well, as I saw my congregation build, well, then I had to divert my attention to their needs, and increasingly so that perhaps there was less of my pulpiteering that dealt with the World Council of Churches and the ecumenical movement, because I had other matters now to address that directly related to this people that God had given me. So that might give the impression that we had lost our zeal for certain issues, but I would hate to think it. I know young men that have recently been ordained and started the work in the Free Presbyterian Church, and I see in them zeal every bit as much as there was in days gone by, and ability far greater. So I have high hopes for the future.
I want to say on that sort of theological note for a moment, I think people outside the Protestant community are bemused by the number of different denominations. Robert McCallum, the Free Presbyterian Church, with the Reformed Presbyterian Church, with the Presbyterian Church, now with the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. I mean, shape a wee bit of the difference, if you would, between your denomination, the Reformed Presbyterian Church, and the Free Presbyterians. Theologically, where do you part company?
Well, of course, historically, our denomination goes back 300 years and more to the days of the Scottish Reformation. So we've been around for a long time. Theologically, our denomination would adhere to the Westminster Confession of Faith. The Free Presbyterian Church, although confessionally adhering to that document and the catechisms, larger and shorter, takes an ambivalent view with regard to baptism, for example. Maybe the majority of people within the Free Presbyterian Church, and Mr. Foster can correct me if I'm wrong, would be Baptist in their orientation, Baptistic. It's something that I would wonder what will happen in the next 50 years. Will the church still claim to be Presbyterian, or will it become more Baptistic? In common with the churches that they associate with in North America, for example, Southern Baptists. So in that area, we're clearly different. Another area would be worship. For example, we adhere to the Reformation principle, the regulative principle of worship, that only what God has commanded in worship. So therefore, we sing the Psalms unaccompanied, whereas the Free Presbyterian Church would be much more open to hymns and soloists and that kind of thing. So that's a clear... I don't want to speak for other denominations, but I can see a clear difference between the two churches in that respect.
Which some would say isn't a huge difference, theologically.
You're looking at me.
I'm looking at you.
Didn't know whether you were looking at me to see my erection or whether you were looking for a...
Well, I think there's a sense amongst many people that the Free Presbyterian Church has put itself far aside from the other denominations, but really, on the whole scale of things, those are not major differences.
No, that is quite true. I don't know what percentage the professor here would lay down as the common denominator between us, but it must be 90% or somewhere near it anyway, from a theological point of view. Yes, we differ on the mode of baptism. I wouldn't like to think that Baptistic might be the correct term, but on the mode of baptism we are open, somewhat John Bunyan, I suppose. But let me just correct one thing. We are not associated in the USA with Southern Baptists, because the Southern Baptist group is an exceedingly ecumenical, modernistic group, as far as I'm concerned, so we're not linked to them.
Is there almost a pride in the Free Presbyterians that they want to be seen to be a part?
Well, as one who has suffered pretty much from the consequences of being a part, and that is a long story, and every minister in the Free Church that's more or less of my age group knows the consequences. No, we don't take a pride in being different, except we certainly take a joy whenever we have borne reproach for the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're not different for the sake of being different. In fact, we were really harking back to biblical Protestantism when our church started. And if that made us different, it only highlighted the differences between others and the Bible.
I think one of the interesting points of similarity between Professor Colum and Ivan Foster's theology here is, or it's actually their cultural history, I guess, is that they both come from, or both are in, the covenanting tradition, which means that their unionism is very conditional. They're unionists because they see the union as the best way to protect their religious beliefs and to protect Protestantism. It's not loyalty to the crown that makes them unionists. Therefore, it's conditional. And if the crown misbehaves or threatens this relationship, then they can quite easily change their minds about the union. And that's why, you know, some Irish nationalists are intrigued by the Free Presbyterian Church and the Reformed Presbyterian tradition and the political manifestations of that, because some nationalists actually see within them the germs of, you know, the Protestant United Irishmen, which is an interesting feature. And when you consider that Ian Paisley himself, at one stage, under the influence of Desmond Bowe, way back in the early 70s, went through a phase not very dissimilar from that.
You'd be aware that various labels, and generally not very flattering, have been hurled at the Free Presbyterians over the years, bigoted and divisive. One of the other contributors in the report we heard talked about them dehumanising Catholics.
Well, that's... first of all, bigotry. The old definition of it that I understand comes from the exclamations of those who oftentimes were burned for their faith when they said by God's grace they would thus take a stand. And I understand that the word is derived basically from that phrase, bigotry by God. So I'm not in the least concerned about that. As for dehumanizing Roman Catholic, that I would find the most hurtful. Now, I was born and raised in County Fermanagh. I have spent the larger part of my life back down in that part of the world. There's a Roman Catholic majority there. My nearest neighbour is a Roman Catholic. And the desire of my heart is to see them won to Christ. Now, it may well be the case that because I attack the system of Roman Catholicism, that it's assumed that the passion with which I oppose it, I oppose the existence of Roman Catholics. But that is absolutely...
But if someone, if the shoe was on the other foot, if someone was to criticise the Free Presbyterian Church, you would take that personally?
No, I would... I would be more than happy to meet them in your studio and discuss the matter. Not in the least do I take it personally. Except when they become personal, as they do. Paisley is this, Paisley is that. It's not Free Presbyterian, it's Paisley is, and Paisley isn't.
Although some would say it's hard to separate the two.
Well, I don't find it hard to separate between Roman Catholicism and the Roman Catholic any more than I can find it difficult to separate between the sinner and the sin.
But the track record, to be fair on this question, I think shows that both the Free Presbyterians and the DUP expend as much energy, if not much more energy, actually, on fights and spats within their own communities, the Free Presbyterian Church against fellow Protestants and DUP against fellow Unionists, as they do against Catholics or Nationalists.
The comment is always...
Thank you, Ed.
The comment has been made so many times about the Church of Ireland being the Unionist party at prayer. Is the Free Presbyterian Church the DUP at prayer?
Not necessarily, because there is some overlap, quite clearly. But I don't think that one stands up to scrutiny, that you would get people in the DUP who for all sorts of reasons are not members of the Free Presbyterian Church. I think you would tend to find them being, generally speaking, within that strand or sector of evangelical Protestantism, but they may shop at different stores.
Very briefly, 50 years, the big man, as you refer to him, Ivan, and as many do within the church, is, what, 75 now?
Mm-hmm.
He's been moderator, he's been founder. What happens leadership-wise within the denomination when the inevitable happens?
75 going on 40, I think we should say.
He'd say
what
happens? He's far more energy than his son.
He undoubtedly, and I don't say this just to flatter him, I mean, it has always been a source of amazement amongst us younger fellows, the energy the man has. But with regard to the future, when the Lord calls our brother home, and I hope it's a long time away, the work of God will continue under the providential guidance and the kingship of the Saviour and our presbytery. And I don't anticipate with any pleasure that meeting, but our presbytery will convene as usual and elect a moderator.
That's a day which who knows how far.
That's right.
Lies
no one
up.
Knows. None of us know.
We're going to leave it there. The Reverend Ivan Foster, Professor Robert McCollum, and Ed Maloney, thanks to all of you for joining us this morning. If you have any thoughts on Free Presbyterianism and its influence, good, bad, or indifferent, on Northern Ireland, we'd like to hear from you. 028 90 338 355. 90 338 355.